The study that's set before us then is pornography, the destroyer of the Christian home. As you can see from my chart, I have entitled it as pernicious pornography, that is destructive. It is indeed a destructive and addictive thing, sin that our country is steeped in. And the things then that we want to consider are, as I have set before you on the chart then, dealing with this subject and how we need to teach and avoid it and teach our children particularly with regards to this, because if you haven't guessed it by now, our society is completely surrounded with this stuff. Even on just about every network television program. And wasn't it just last night, or was it the night before, that NYPD Blue was airing on ABC Network? It was considered to be the first R-rated primetime television program aired in our country. Well, really, it's nothing new, although they may want to show frontal nudity and some other things that they had highlighted as, I suppose, real attractive to some. But the same types of things have been going on for years, friends. And really, I can count on one finger, and probably even less, the number of network programming that my family and I watch together. There's just not much that's fit on the television. We're surrounded with pornography. Now, generally, whenever we think of this word, we're thinking of the really hardcore stuff, that which depicts all kinds of gross and immoral activities in photos or in books or even in movies. But you know, there is such a thing, some call it soft core porn, which really it isn't. Sin is sin, any way you want to cut it. And so we look at the pornography in all of its forms, and we'll be highlighting some of that then in our study. The first thing we need to understand is what the pornography is, and that is it's any sexual action that defiles the body and dishonors the home or the marriage. And so whenever we look at the various kinds of sexual deviancy, like Brother Jay's lesson was yesterday, dealing with homosexuality, or last evening rather, we're dealing with the subject of pornography because of the word from which it stems. The term pornography comes from the Greek word pornos, porneo, in its various forms, verbs or nouns, and has reference to a prostitute. And by the way, a prostitute isn't always just a woman. A prostitute is any person whose his or her business deals with sexual promiscuity and immorality. Of course, the sexual intercourse for pay. But it is also the pornographer is one who is a promoter of such things. Now, I've highlighted for you just two of the markets for most of the pornography in our nation. Kmart, because it's so well known to so many people, and the 7-Eleven stores. But there's a whole list that this chart could not hold of the outlets for pornographic materials in this country. I highlight these again, as I say, because of two reasons. They're well known and because of the high percentage that they have pushed in our country. Now, whenever I'm referring to Kmart, you see that little star there, that reminds me of really not the Kmart store where you go shopping, but rather one of the subsidiaries that it owns. That is Walden Books, which sells pornography. Kmart has been approached for years to either get that trash out of the Walden bookstores or to sell Walden books to someone else, to get out of that business, and they simply refuse to do so. Whenever we're talking about pornography and we're speaking about the promoters of such things, 7-Eleven stores boasts that they distribute at least or up to 30% of all the Playboy magazines that are sold in this country. Now, friends, I don't know about you or the decisions that you're going to make. I would really encourage you to stop trading at 7-Eleven stores. There's no need for us to support this kind of trash, and that's really what you're helping to do. I just wanted to make a note here with regards to this NC-17 rating. It's a fairly new rating. Perhaps you're familiar with it. You with teenage children probably more familiar with it than some of the older brethren. But the point is, this has taken the place of R rating. This NC-17, you see, hasn't taken place the X rating. Pardon me, the X rating. And so you see, it's just not so bold in stating the filth that'll be involved in either the movie or the book or the materials that are purchased or viewed for pleasure. This NC-17 rating, you see, then is directed toward a 17-year-old. Now, I'm going to have something more to say about the market for pornography as we get along in this lesson. But I just wanted to highlight this, friends. When you see that NC-17, it's not like the PG-13, which is a misnomer also. It is the replacement for the X rating. Don't be taken in. Don't let your kids go to this to those movies that are rated that way. Well, let's see. Let's go a little bit further then with regards to what this action, this material is called in the Scriptures. It is called fornication or harlotry. Again, as we say, it comes from the Greek term pornos or porneo, verbs and nouns, but it is translated as fornication and harlotry. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that we're to flee fornication. Now, that's just real simple. But it's in so many different forms and so much around us that really we're going to have to flee from all kinds of things if we just stop and think about what this term means. Any, as we've said, any sexual action that degrades the body or the marriage and home. And so we're going to have to be fleeing an awful lot of our favorite television programs, friends. And so, as we say, this term of fornication, it's an interesting application what Paul says here when he says simply flee fornication. That's not all he says. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Every kind of sin that you can put in the catalog is something that it's outside here. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, in chapter 3 of the book of 1 Corinthians, we see the importance of the body. Collectively, the church belongs to God. But beginning in chapter 5 and 6 and 7, or at least chapters 5 and 6, we see the body individually, the Christian, it belongs to God too. And so whenever we're committing fornication, friends, we're sinning against the temple of the Holy Spirit. We won't get into the discussion as regards the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's just accept the fact of it. God dwells in us collectively as the body of Christ. And to some extent, to some degree, in some way, God dwells in us as Christians individually. Friends, we ought not to sin against the body in such a way. And then we come to Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Familiar verse, several have used it, others will, no doubt. And that is, let marriage be had in honor among all, and the bed undefiled. Now, just for your information, the Greek term bed there is the term, sometimes used as a medical term, taught to our children in the so-called sex education classes, coitus. That is the term that's found there. Now, friends, I'd have you to know that the coitus that our children are learning in school is not the honorable kind, but rather it is the fornication kind. It is the debauchery of that sexual union that God says is honorable in the bed, in marriage. And then he goes on to say, for fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And so we have then these terms, what we see, what it is, how it's defined, and what it's called in the Scriptures. But friends, I also want to tell you about some porn pals. Some porn pals. Now by this, I mean those who have benefited from contributions made to various organizations or political campaigns. And maybe you've already seen them on the chart from where you're sitting. Some of the names that are up there, but for the benefit of those who are listening to the tape, we will list who those people are. And when I speak of these porn pals and the groups or the people who have benefited from the sale of pornography, I'm talking about contributions that have been made, particularly by Playboy International, to the ACLU, as some have called it, the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. And I think it's a pretty appropriate name for these people. And so the ACLU is one who has benefited from pornography. Contributions made to this. The PAW, the People for the American Way. We could probably put different words to that PAW, especially since it spells out Paul, and it brings to mind, doesn't it, the kind of things that we see in or is depicted in pornography. And so, the People for American Way, a misnomer, it's really the people for a perverted lifestyle who have benefited from pornography. The national so-called gay rights and the national abortion rights groups and lobbies and so on in our nation have benefited from that which is that which has been sold by Playboy and contributions made to them. But notice some of these individuals in their campaign work who have benefited from contributions by Playboy. One of these is Gary Hart. You recall he tried to run for president some time ago. And he was not very successful because of his extramarital affairs that were made public. And boy, haven't we come a long way. At any rate, Gary Hart, Paul Simon has benefited from these things. Dianne Feinstein, feminist in our national government. Alan Cranston, Jesse Jackson, and yes, even our own president, Bill Clinton. And so these are people who have benefited from some of the contributions made to their work by Playboy International. And we think about these people, these are the people in our government. These are the people that that are leaders in this nation. And I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. The Bible tells us, "Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt your good morals." Friends, I don't mean to say that these people are pornographers or that they help support it or so on, although there are some things that we have to question. But if they take the help, the contributions from a pornographic industry, well, their influence is just shattered in my thinking. And I think that's what the Bible teaches as well. Brethren, this is our government. And still the Proverbs tell us in chapter 14 and verse 34 that it is righteousness that exalteth a nation. We worry about our nation. We ought to pray more for our nation. We ought to speak out about those who are leaders in this nation and try to keep them on the narrow way, the straight and narrow way. But no matter what it happens in this nation or any other in this globe, friends, let me remind you of the bright spot in all this. We ought to thank God that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. We won't have to live in this old world forever. Our citizenship is in heaven. Well, let's look a little further then with regards to some of the myths that pornography would have us to believe and those who promote it, such as, well, you can't legislate morality. What an absurd idea. Every law that's on the books, friends, is legislating some kind of morality. That's why it's there, you see. Now we might ask this question, is it moral to steal? Well, no, it's not moral to steal. Does not the laws that forbid theft then, are they not legislating morality? And the laws concerning murder, the laws concerning drug abuse, and any law you want to name, friends, it's legislating morality. And so don't be caught off guard by some fella who's uninformed or actually is looking for a license to live his way to say, well, you can't legislate morality, and we shouldn't say that such and such is dirt or such and such is obscene. It's art. You see, that's the second myth. That is, that you cannot define obscenity. It seems to me that a fellow who or gal who can't define obscene doesn't know how to pour sand out of a boot. Friends, obscene is that which is detrimental and is in opposition to what God teaches regarding the sanctity of the home and marriage and the purity of your body. Surely we can define obscene and what those things are. People with any common sense know how to do so anyway. And then there's the myth that says, well, there's just no harm to the community. There's no harm to the communities where pornography is sold. And that's just as big a lie as you can find. The truth of the matter is that in those communities where more and more pornographic materials are sold is the higher incidence of rape and other sexual crimes. And those are crimes, aren't they, Brother Jay? And so, it is folly to say that there's no harm to the community. And we'll have just some statistics here in just a moment with regards to those things. And then somebody says, well, you know, the children don't see it, they keep it under the counter. When was the last time you were in a 7-Eleven? Or any of these other fast food stores where the stuff is laid out anywhere, everywhere? And the bookstores and so on that don't restrict how old a person is who goes in there, they might restrict them, if somebody's watching, who purchases the stuff, but they don't restrict those who go in there, even these adult bookstores. Children can walk in there. At any rate, they say, well, the children don't see it. Here's the fact of the matter. Now, you can't see it there, but 3 weeks ago when I made this chart, this used to say 70%. It now says 90% because of an updated material I got in the mail. 90% of the pornography that's produced in this country is produced for teenage use. And you know who's the target? Boys from the ages of 12 to 17. From 12 to 17 years old. 90% of those young people are where the market for pornography is. And then we come to a couple of shocking statements where someone has said, we deliver hearts and minds. Now, I don't know about you. Well, maybe I do. I know you, brethren. You don't want someone fooling with your heart or mind or your children. And yet there was one organization that's pretty prevalent and very popular that says, we deliver hearts and minds. I'll tell you where true deliverance for hearts and minds is found. That's in Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6, when the apostle says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and thoughts or minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good reputation, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And the things which you have heard and seen, learned and received in me, these things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, there's peace and protection and guardianship for your hearts and your minds and your souls. As the scriptures say several times in the New Testament, that which guards us from stumbling, that which keeps us in the faith, is God's word. But these want to deliver the hearts and minds of our young people. And friends, the ones who are saying this and the ones who are doing so are right before your eyes, and that's MTV. Now, if you're allowing your teenagers to watch MTV, you're allowing them to watch pornography. Whether it's hardcore or softcore, whatever, what anybody wants to say, it is pornographic. And just a few minutes in watching this station will tell you so. But that's not all they said. You see, they also made this statement. We are a cultural force. And that's precisely what they're trying to do. They're trying to change this culture in which we live, to make it more acceptable for the things that Brother Jay was talking about last night and various other things that others will be addressing. They are a cultural force. No wonder Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness and the spiritual hosts or powers, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is one of those cultural forces. And friends, we need to battle against it. We are a mighty army, and we can fight against these things if only we will. Now, here's how not to do it. Don't arm yourselves with the shotgun and go down there and blow somebody away, like some of the abortion protesters have done. That's not the way to battle those things. You see, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that's exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, and being ready always to avenge all disobedience. You see, that's the spiritual warfare in which we involve ourselves in, to battle against cultural forces such as that which promotes pornography. What about the results of pornography in the various communities and the myth that some say, well, it has no harm, does no harm? I just didn't have room on the chart or two or three charts for these things, and so that's why I've prepared them on this separate little page. First of all, I want to show you that those who have been studying the effects of pornography for years and years tell us that it usually goes through four stages, four steps, and that is an addiction, first off, and then an escalation, that is, it continues to grow and grow, and then a desensitization, they no longer hurt in the conscience because of what the trash they're watching, and then reenactment, such things as rape, incest, and murder. And you know, it dawned on me after I had prepared this chart that Ephesians 4:19 describes all four of those things which the psychiatrists and psychologists have proven. And that is, Paul is talking about the Gentile world, Gentile in this text having reference to unbelievers, not necessarily non-Jews, but those who are not believers. And he speaks concerning them that they gave themselves up over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, will you notice what they've done? They have given themselves up, and so we see the addiction unto lasciviousness, which is the desensitization, to work all uncleanness, there's the reenactment, with greediness, there's the escalation. And that is precisely what Paul's talking about. And so let's consider some of these statistics that I've prepared for our study. The FBI has stated that 81% of sex killers use pornography. That recreational killers, people who kill just for fun, of which there are 5,000 deaths every year, are addicted to the stuff. In Michigan, 41% of all sex crimes come from pornography. A 10-year study in Los Angeles indicates that there's 62% of all sex crimes are linked to pornography. In Kentucky, between the years of 1980 and 84, all sex offenders were users of pornography. Organized crime, friends, runs anywhere from 80 to 85% of the pornography in this world, or in this country, rather. Organized crime is behind it. And the crime is the highest in those communities where the stuff is sold. It amounts to $8 to $10 billion per year with over 20,000 outlets. Now, don't tell us we don't have a job on our hands. We do. Tremendous job to battle this stuff. Teenage boys, I think I've already mentioned this, 90% of which are the largest users of pornography. 72% of junior high school boys who were asked about the use of pornography indicated, admitted, that they wanted to try some of the things that were portrayed in pornography. 25% of all girls will be assaulted sometime in their lifetime. One out of every four of our girls, statistically speaking, will be assaulted. 38% of all sexually abused girls have been abused before the age of 13 years. One out of every three girls in San Francisco is assaulted. 70% of the boy molesters and 87% of girl molesters use pornography. The average pedophile, that's the fellow who molests children, molests 70 children each. And there are so many of them that on average, there's somebody being molested every 2 minutes around the clock in our country. Rape has increased 700% since 1933. Now somebody says, well, why'd you go back so far to find that statistic? Well, it's interesting to note that that's the year that the Humanist Manifesto was written and signed by a number of people, one of which was John Dewey, the father, he's called, of American education. Now, doesn't that tell you something about the sex education your children are going to be learning? And I'll have more about that. 51% of the men at UCLA said that they would rape if they could do so with impunity. Consequently, 28% of all college women are raped or the attempt is made on them. Now, let me tell you about the sex ed curriculum that Planned Parenthood would like to teach your children. Friends, the things I'm going to read here are, well, they're sickening. And I don't like to use the words, but I will. Because we need to know. Here is what they teach. That safe sex, basically, and we know this, though they don't teach this. This is just their teaching on safe sex. As you and I know, is safe fornication. It's not safe, but it is sin, as the scriptures plainly teach. But at any rate, they want to teach the children from 5 to 8 years old what sex is and what it's all about and how it functions. They want to teach them about masturbation, and that different people have different values. Now, that's a 5-year-old to 8-year-old learning this. From ages 9 to 12, they want to teach them that sex is good and fun, and homosexuality is just as good as heterosexuality, and legal abortion is really safe. That's what the 9 to 12-year-olds are learning. Ages 12 to 15, that people should use contraception. And they want to teach them what and how these things are used, what they are and how to use them. They want to teach them that homosexuals are just like the heterosexuals. They're just the same, only different. Masturbation is safe and fun and easy, whether alone or with a friend. That's what they want to teach them. And here's how it's done, part of this curriculum. Values regarding these things are your private concern. It is an individual choice and not to be regulated by anyone. Ages 15 to 18, they are taught that sex is good for most people, and here are some common, normal sex practices and how to do them, and religious traditions are not relevant to personal, private practice. You see, God apparently isn't in charge when we're at home in the bedroom. Piffle. And so somebody says you can't legislate morality, but it sure seems like you can teach it to our children. Wonder why that is. And why can't we stop it? Oh, because you can't legislate morality, they say. Really, what this lesson is all about then is the question that comes from Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. What saith the Scriptures? What does the Bible tell us about this practice? I suggest to you, friends, that it tells us at least these four things. We ought to abstain, attain, acknowledge, and agree with regards to what God says about this practice, about this sin. First of all, let us abstain from this practice. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, let us abstain from every form of evil. It doesn't have to be hard core. It can be soft core, because one is just as bad as the other. Let's stay away from the books, the magazines, the movies, the television programs which depict anything which defiles the body or dishonors marriage, and teach our children to do so. Peter said, he was pleading with the audience in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, Beloved, I beg you, as pilgrims and as sojourners, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see, that's the bottom line. That's what's wrong with this. It wars against the soul, and we cannot be saved if we imbibe this beverage. We must also attain Simply put, as Peter said in his second letter, chapter 1 and verse 6, attain knowledge and therefore self-control. If we can know and understand the pernicious nature of pornography, we can practice self-control and teach our children likewise, not to be tempted to view and to watch and to buy this trash, but rather let us add to our faith knowledge and self-control, patience and godliness, live like God would have us to live. And not be like those that are described in 2 Timothy 3, verses 3 and 4. Those who are without natural affection, the homosexual world. Those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, in the original language, that has reference to a philanderer. That's what the word is. A philanderer. He's a lover of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul indicts all of us before we became Christians in that we were the ones who are pursuing after various diverse lusts and pleasures. Now that word there is the term we get hedonism. Hedonism. And so let us avoid those things. Attain this knowledge and stay away from that. Number three, let us acknowledge that pornography is basically a matter of the heart. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and following, our Lord was teaching this, that the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these defile the man. For from the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and fornications. And he lists several other things, but summarizes in verse 20 by saying, these are the things which defile the man. Really, it goes right back to what we find in Genesis chapter 6, and I think it's verse 5, where the every thought of the heart of man was only evil continually. It's a matter of the heart. And so, friends, you're a Christian, right? And so since you are a Christian, you have come before God with faith and you've had your heart sprinkled clean of an evil conscience when your body was washed with pure water. And so let us then follow the advice of the wise man in Proverbs 4 and 23. Since your heart has been sprinkled clean, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it are the issues of life. And then we might ask this question, well, how does that get in there? If it's a matter of the heart, how does it get in there? Well, really two avenues, the eyes and the ears. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23, that the eye is the lamp of the body. And if thine eye be single, then thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then thy body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Did you hear that? If what little bit of light you think is in there is actually darkness, oh, how black it really is. And so we must be careful of what sets before our eyes. And I'm reminded of Psalm 101, verse 3, I will put no unclean thing before mine eyes. Good advice for all of us, not to watch the trash that's set out before us. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5 and verse 28 that if any man looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so be careful what your eyes look at, men and women. Finally, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, rather describing the ungodly and the worldly, incidentally, right in among our own number, that's really what he's talking about. He says they have eyes full of adultery. Now, there's at least two ways that we can look at that, what that means. Either that his eyes are, that person's eyes are always seeking someone to commit adultery with, which is one way of looking at it. But I think rather it's the second, where every person he looks at, he thinks, hey, there's a viable option right there. That gal, that guy, they'll do it with me. See, their eyes are full of adultery. They think that every other person is just as vile as they are themselves. And he goes on to say, and they cannot cease from sin. Now, there's a way in which that, of course, is true. A person who has dedicated himself to that is not going to cease from that kind of sin. A great change must take place. It gets in there through the eyes and in through the ears. This goes into much of the music that's listened to on any kind of station, on any band. There's trash in all styles of music. And so it gets in there from what we hear. Jesus said simply, Mark 4 and verse 24, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you're listening to. And let us teach our children to be careful what they hear. So we must abstain, attain, acknowledge, and let us agree with God. And so that we can walk together with Him. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Because two can't walk together except they be agreed. Let's agree with the Lord in these matters. Understand the sinfulness of this practice, of this material, and the damage that it can do to the family, even as we've looked at in the statistics, and the broken homes that have taken place, and the money, the billions of dollars of money that's wasted, and thus homes are suffering for it. Let us agree with Him to walk after righteousness.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, having these promises..." Now, what promises were those? Well, we back up, Mike, to what you were talking about last night. The end of chapter 6. The blessings, the promises that we have there is that God is in us. He walks among us. He'll be our Father. We'll be His sons and daughters if we come out and stop touching those things that are unclean. And so verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1 is the summary. "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Do you notice the personal responsibility there? "Cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." It is up to you and me to avoid these things and teach our children to do likewise and teach our community to do likewise, because some people just don't know. Finally, 1 Peter 4 and verse 2 is good advice. "Let us spend the rest of our time in the flesh, not after the lusts of men, but after the will of God." This is the lesson. There's some disturbing things that I've had to refer to in here, some things that are just not pleasant to think about, but necessary for our warning and our admonition. "Brethren, abstain from these things. Warn others to do likewise." And I think, and I know the Scriptures teach that we'll be blessed. Thank you for your attention.